Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Bienvenue. Welcome to this convocation for the Schulich Faculty of Music. We've had some good music already. I'd like you to give a nice hand for Brian Sand and his quintet. And I have to say, this is the 12th convocation that we've had, and you were the most enthusiastic audience with respect to the entry of the students, so I commend you for that and give yourselves an applause. My name is David Harp. I am a professor in the chemistry department. I am the chef du protocole, or the chief operations officer for at least 4 minutes here this morning, and otherwise the chief marshal. I think there's really no marshaling to be done. You're the most orderly audience, enthusiastic, and the only thing that we might ask is that you not try to clog the aisles with photographs. They won't show up too well. But there's plenty of pictures that will be taken down here, and you have the screen, of course, to check out if you're a little bit in and behind. I would ask also, in that this isn't exactly a music presentation, but you're always asked to do this at a concert, so maybe if you would... Hello? Hello? My daughter has called. I was shutting off the phone. She's calling from New York State. She's a professor in at Colgate University, and I'm sorry, but I told you never to call me at work. This was not planned. It was not planned. Wow. And that'll all be broadcast around the world, or is being broadcast around the world. Maybe that's how she thought she would, I don't know. She's not a mischief maker whatsoever, so I'll have to get her for this. Anyway, we're very pleased that you're here today. The ceremony should take approximately an hour, 3.5 minutes, plus or minus a couple of minutes. It'll be a little bit after 3 o'clock when we are completely finished. I would also add that the alumni tent that is normally operational, which is the smaller tent on the right-hand side as you exit here, that tent, the program in that tent will be taken up to the arts building. You just walk straight to the left as you exit, and there'll be refreshments, frames, and the like that you can deal with up there. So please feel free to go after the ceremony. Fortunately, this week we had very little rain on any of the ceremonies, just a little bit this morning. The other comment to make, perhaps, is that the ceremony will begin with Winston Purdy singing the alma mater, and it will conclude with Winston Purdy, a professor in the music faculty, singing O Canada. The last persons in the tent will be the chair of the Board of Governors, Robert Rabinovich, the Chancellor, Richard Pound, and, of course, the principal, Heather Monroe Bloom. Chancellor Pound will commence the ceremony. That is his chair that sits up here, the throne, as he sometimes calls it. And I would ask you now, please, to rise. Levez-vous, s'il vous plaît, for the platform party.
afternoon, everyone. I extend the greetings of and best wishes of McGill University, its Board of Governors, faculty and staff, to the graduating students, their families and their friends who are participating in this convocation. Welcome to our splendid, if somewhat sodden, downtown campus, in the middle of our university, in the heart of the great city of Montreal. We meet today in the very center of what has been an intellectual capital of Montreal, of Quebec, and of Canada for almost two centuries. You are sitting on the grounds where some of the greatest minds in the world have advanced the frontiers of science, the humanities, the arts, and the learned professions, where extraordinary teachers have inspired the generations who followed them, and where the leaders of their own generations gained the insights and confidence that guided them as they set forth on their personal voyages of discovery. For the graduating students, I hope you've come to understand what a remarkable opportunity you've had to study at McGill in the care of an institution committed to providing you with the finest education, measured not just on a local or even national scale, but on the scale of the entire world in which you will now find yourselves. You are not the same as when you arrived. You're older, you know more, you have learned how to think, to question, to analyze, to organize your thoughts, to communicate. You understand more. And perhaps, above all, you now realize that your education will never cease, that it will be a constant process for the rest of your lives. Today, what we celebrate, and it deserves celebration, is merely the passing from one stage to yet another in what should be a lifelong quest for the advancement of your own learning. Remember the day, but keep your eyes on the future. You are works in progress. Par la présence ici aujourd'hui, les gouverneurs, les professeurs de l'Université McGill reconnaissent votre travail et attestent que vous êtes désormais mieux préparés selon des critères objectivement mesurables à aborder les prochaines étapes de votre vie. They are here to bear witness to the fact that over the past few years they have taken your very promising minds and have tried, by sharing their knowledge and experience, to stretch those minds beyond what you might have been able to do unassisted. They hope that you are now at least partially equipped for what you will soon encounter. This is a graduation day for them as well as for you. They join with your parents, families, and friends to celebrate this ceremonial occasion. That is why today there's an academic procession, why you are gowned, why you will be capped if this is your first degree, why, in fact, you will be awarded a degree, and why there are witnesses who share with you in the confirmation of what you've accomplished. As a parent who has sat on many such occasions where your own parents and family are sitting today, I can assure you that they've never been as proud of you as they are right now. Nous vivons bien sûr au Canada, dont la diversité culturelle est d'ailleurs fort bien représentée ici. Cette fierté s'exprimera donc de différentes façons, tantôt ouvertement et avec émotion, tantôt plus discrètement par un simple signe de la tête ou un baiser. Mais croyez-moi, en notre fort intérieur au moins, il n'y a personne parmi nous qui n'ait les larmes aux yeux. You leave McGill with the advantage of one of the finest educations available on the face of this planet. You enjoy a huge advantage. It is an advantage that deserves to be applied for the good of the world community of which you are part, not just for personal advancement or profit. You leave here with an obligation to do your best in all circumstances, to apply your talents and skills with a sense of adventure, and there will be plenty of adventure, but also with the responsibility that comes with the privilege of leadership. Remember the words of Dr. Norman Bethune. Every leader starts out by first leading himself. You can make a difference. Make it a good difference. We will devote a portion of this convocation to the recognition of superb teaching within the faculty, with the presentation of awards for excellence in teaching to Olga Ellen Bakulina, Stefan Levesque, and Patrick Hansen. Stefan Levesque is unable to be with us today, but we are fortunate to have the other two recipients, who will be introduced more fully in a few moments. It's now my pleasure to invite the Principal and Vice Chancellor, Dr. Heather Monroe Bloom, to address convocation.
Chancellor, Chairman, Principal Emeritus, Provost, Dean, our Special Teaching Award winners, Ms. Olga Ellen Bakulina and Professor Patrick Hansen, distinguished colleagues, friends, and graduating class, bonjour et bienvenue to Le Monde. As Principal and Vice Chancellor of McGill University, it is my great pleasure to welcome you as well here on our front lawns of our downtown campus. I know that some of you who are here today as guests yourselves graduated on these very lawns. And as we come to the close of this special convocation season, I would like to speak for a moment about our Chancellor. Maître Pound came to McGill as a student athlete in the late 1950s, and he has never left us. Chancellor Pound's service to our university over the years has been devoted and distinguished, ranging from teaching to serving as president of the Graduate Society and chair of the Alma Mater Fund to volunteering with McGill athletes. He has been a governor of McGill for almost a quarter of a century, serving as chair of our Board of Governors from 1994 to 1999, and now as chancellor for 10 years. All of this he has accomplished while serving the International Olympic Movement with high integrity and a devotion to uniform standards of fair play, and at the same time pursuing a distinguished legal career. Chancellor Pound will step down from 15 years of exceptional senior volunteer leadership at the end of this month, and I want to take this opportunity on behalf of the entire McGill community to express our respect and heartfelt appreciation to you, Chancellor Pound, for your unparalleled service to your alma mater. Graduating class, today is a very special day for you and a proud and happy day for McGill, an occasion to celebrate you, the class of 2009, and your families and friends, and to share in your happiness. For all of you who are graduating here today, you have worked very hard without question, but as tough as it may be to be a McGill student from time to time, it is sometimes even tougher to be the parent of a McGill student or family member, and I ask the graduating class to join with me in expressing your appreciation to your family members and closest friends who supported you through your time at McGill. Many of you will be thinking about where life will take you next, if you haven't already decided, and about the choices you will make. Nous vivons dans un monde où des membres d'une même famille, des amis et des collègues, peuvent aussi bien vivre dans des pays lointains que dans la même ville, où il est fort probable que votre réussite émane de partenariats avec des gens dont l'origine et l'expérience diffèrent largement de vôtre. The world you go out into as new graduates has been marked by an extraordinary year at the global level, one that has animated our commitment to grappling with the challenges we now all face worldwide. We are called upon to realize quickly a more sustainable relationship with our physical environment and to do so while simultaneously dealing with vast uncertainty in the economy and in other domains of civil society. At the same time, redesigning the way we interact with financial and social systems to lessen the gaps that are growing between those who have and those who do not. These are challenges indeed, but we are confident that you graduating class are well up to managing them and indeed will succeed in the face of them. And as we interact with the complexity of our world, we are all dependent upon knowledge, on intelligent and continuously assessed values and practices, and most significantly on dedicated and creative individuals, leaders, professionals, and citizens, people just like you. Class of 2009, you are building strong technological and scientific literacy, multilingual fluency, and an understanding of many of the great cultures and religions of the world. You are cultivating further your open mind and increasing your appetite for dealing with complexity. We are confident that your time at McGill has exposed you to the richness as well as the challenges that characterize the world into which you are stepping now as McGill alums. At McGill, we know you have made lasting friendships, sought knowledge and practice and skills, learned from the best and brightest students and professors. You've experienced an environment where the pursuit of knowledge is the ultimate goal, where the exchange of ideas, and particularly controversial and provocative ideas, is encouraged, and where we respect fundamentally our academic freedoms and our freedom of speech. And along with these wonderful freedoms and our great good fortune comes a special responsibility to recognize that the privileges that we enjoy of living and studying in a peaceful democracy and a prosperous civil society position us to meet social, environmental, and financial challenges that will affect others much more severely than they will affect us. As we celebrate you, the class of 2009, we also celebrate our wonderful Schulich School of Music. Under the exciting and dedicated leadership of Dean Don McLean, the Schulich School of Music, Canada's largest faculty of music, is advancing constantly. An already enviable North American and international reputation for excellence in both the performance and technical aspects of music and in music research and teaching. Class of 2009, we are very proud that you will today be joining the ranks of the more than 200,000 distinguished living alumni around the world, a roster that includes our chancellor, our principal emeritus, and our chair. And graduating class, as you leave here today, please undertake to stay in touch with your alma mater. You may be sure that we will stay in touch with you. Thank you. We like it. In closing, remember that you will represent the good name of McGill everywhere you go. Please undertake to do that at the highest standards. And as you do, three pieces of simple but compelling advice from an ancient scholar. Take care of yourself. If you are not for yourself, who will be? Strive to make the world a better place. If you are only for yourself, you will have failed. Don't be afraid to give back, to act, to make your contribution to your community, your profession, your country, and your world. But for now, today's your day of celebration. Savor every moment. Félicitations.
Thank you, Madam Principal. Liana Portnoff and Professor Andre Roy, Chair of the Department of Performance, will now present in order Olga Ellen Bakulina and Patrick J. Hansen to the Principal and Vice Chancellor to receive their awards for excellence in teaching.
Madam Vice Chancellor, Ellen Bakulina has committed much of her time to the Schulich School of Music. She completed her Bachelor of Music Theory in 2007 and returned here to complete her Master's in Music Theory. A pianist and theorist, Ellen began her musical studies in Russia at the Academic Music College of the Moscow Tchaikovsky Conservatory. She first started teaching music theory and history at a school of music for children ages 7 to 13 years old. As a graduate student at McGill, Ellen has been a music theory teaching assistant every semester, covering all core music theory classes at the Schulich School of Music. Ellen enjoys teaching very much and particularly values the unique opportunity that teaching music theory provides her, the opportunity of creatively communicating with the students as musicians with an artistic mindset while simultaneously developing their intellectual abilities and analytical skills. It is with my pleasure that I introduce to you the winner of the 2009 Schulich School of Music Teaching Assistant Award, Ellen Bacalina.
Madame Vice-Chancellor, c'est avec le plus grand des plaisirs que j'ai l'honneur de vous présenter aujourd'hui le professeur Patrick Hansen, Director of Opera McGill and recipient of the Teaching Award at the Schulich School of Music. Through his tireless and persistent efforts, Professor Hansen has literally transformed and redefined the opera program at our school. But one cannot only present him as Director of Opera McGill, as it would not do justice to the profound effect he has had on our school. Professor Hansen has taught private and class coaching to our singers. He has been an acting instructor, a staging instructor, a set designer, a stage director, and a music director, both as a pianist and a conductor. Professor Hansen has great expectation and is consistently pushing the students into new, different, and exciting directions. A true mentor, he has not only taught our students, but actually involved them in the inner workings of staging an opera, thus giving them an insight on his limitless creative process. From Jean-Baptiste Lully to Mozart to Benjamin Britten, Professor Hansen has the unique ability to open a modern window on the great traditional masterpieces. Indeed, he is always exploring new possibilities of redefining the tradition. In fact, I suspect he is probably thinking right now how this very ceremony could be staged differently. There seems to be indeed no limit to his creative process. His enthusiasm, his love, and passion is so communicative that he gets everyone to be completely involved in the production of what seemed to be at first impossible. But the work of Professor Hansen is best described by the students of the opera program. One of them writes, "His intelligence, scholarship, leadership, and sheer talent make him a force of nature. His sense of responsibility and generosity extend well beyond what is required of him, and we, his students, are always the beneficiaries. Professor Hansen, please accept from all of us at the Schulich School of Music and the greater McGill community our sincere congratulations for this greatly deserved award."
In case you're thinking of it, don't mess with the chancellor's speech, but you can do whatever you want with the principal's. I now have the pleasure to invite the dean of the faculty, Don McLean, to deliver the convocation address.
Chancellor Pound, Vice Chancellor Monroe Bloom, Principal Emeritus Bernard Shapiro, Chair Rabinovich, Dr. Flanders, Provost Massey, academic colleagues and staff members from the Schulich School of Music and the University, parents, grandparents, family and friends, graduates. As Dean of the Schulich School of Music, it is my great privilege for me to be asked to address you, our graduates, and your assembled friends and supporters this afternoon. Music is what we do. All of us at some point in our lives had different paths to choose, but we chose music. I'm often asked why people choose music, these days mostly by anxious parents, who are at least temporarily in need of reassurance about their offspring's dubious choice of career path. As opposed to something, okay, in fact, just about anything else, that mom and dad are sure would be safer. No question, music and the arts aren't about safe. So my usual short answer as to why people do music is hormones. That's because for many people the decision to pursue professional musical studies is taken in their fraught and impressionable teen years. Even if they may have been a musical prodigy long before, when the emotional experience of music, perhaps the mentoring presence of that unsung high school music teacher or private studio instructor, galvanized their being. And they imagined themselves being able to do this. Perhaps in some ways, for a while at least, not being able to imagine themselves doing anything else. And at some points, graduates, that was you. So you did it. You made the choice. You listened to your hormones. You believed in yourself and your mentors, and you made it through an exceptionally heavy program of musical training and education at the highest level. Congratulations. As a career path, as an educational option, I realize in some cases today may be it for you with music. As with many of our graduates, you may now move on to other pursuits. The path of our graduate Dave Matthews comes to mind. Dave was president of the MUSA Student Society, a violinist, a good one, but far from our best in his year, who also pursued simultaneously a Bachelor of Science degree in biology. Dave went on to become a Rhodes Scholar at Oxford, where we visited him last month, and where he is completing his MPhil in medical anthropology. He's going to continue his studies next year in the MD program at the University of Toronto. Now, not everyone makes it in music. Okay, so Dave is, of course, a pretty exceptional fellow, but I want you to know that he is playing in a piano trio with two other Rhodes Scholars this year, and that music will continue to be with him wherever he goes, as it will be for you. Because you can't choose to study music at this level, the level you already have, and not continue to be engaged with it, moved by it, acting as its champion for others the rest of your life. We are faced today with a situation where the role and position of music in society is, according to many, in a state of devaluation, or certainly in a state of reevaluation, where the global socioeconomic and cultural conditions, even before the current uncertainty of the recent crisis, have put impediments in the way of our usual artistic practices and are challenging us to do things differently. Changing attitudes provoke terms like music consumers or the concert-going public, terms that invoke music as a commodity, which, of course, in part, it is, and ask us to recognize that the public is, in fact, still going to concerts, though it may not be the same public nor the same concert. Many innovative examples at the Schulich School come to mind. So what to do? Music in particular, the performing arts in general, are remarkable for their eventfulness, their capacity to create heightened experience, to inspire dreams, to move the soul, to embody beauty and sorrow, to touch the heart, both full and broken, to create amazing moments of wow. We are faced with the challenges of stretching but not compromising what we do, which is ultimately to wobble the world on its axes. These days, it is almost impossible to find a situation where music is not mediated by technology. Unfortunately, much of it is bad technology. From the doubtful sound recording standard of the CD to the worst compression of MP3 to internet downloads, digital right managements, etc. We are faced with an increasingly poor and sometimes lethal sound quality environment where the trade-off on the iPod's democratization of music is hearing loss. We have a responsibility to fix this. Today's musicians are also confronted with the cult of personality. They must learn to both resist and embrace being rock stars and jongleurs, adding the edifying lift that new art brings, creating new opportunities that make them more than just performers or troubadours, servants or wanderers, though without forgetting the value to society of the well-placed fool. Certainly they will all need to be entrepreneurs and promoters, and most importantly, team builders. Our strength at McGill is ensemble. It is a transferable skill you will all need going forward. So for those of you who might not know, let me tell you about some of the unique features of the School of Music of McGill University from which these folks are graduating today. McGill University is one of the top 25 research-intensive, publicly funded, or rather publicly underfunded, universities in the world. The Schulich School of Music has recently been ranked by the Princeton Review as one of the top 10 music schools in the world. Now, it's sometimes a bit of a challenge for us in music to have to drag medicine and law along behind us, but we're happy to help the team. More seriously, you should know that at the international level, particularly in the EU and some parts of the US, the Schulich School of Music is widely acknowledged as an innovation leader in the training of creative and performing musicians for research on music and sound. You see, the Schulich School is really three institutions in one. We are a high-level conservatory that trains composers and performers in the classical and jazz streams. We are a department of music that studies music as artistic and cultural object from the humanities-based perspective of musicology, theory, and pedagogy. And we are a center for scientific technological production and research in sound recording and music technology. More uniquely, we have on the music staff, in addition to composers, performers, and music scholars, physicists, electrical engineers, computer scientists, respirologists, cognitive neuroscientists, etc., all of whom focus on music and sound, with, at this point, actual and emerging links to scholars in every other faculty at McGill. Our research center, Kermit, the Center for Interdisciplinary Research in Music, Media, and Technology, established in 2000, has thus become, under the inspired leadership of Canada Research Chair Dr. Stephen McAdams, McGill's interdisciplinary poster child. This success, and we could do better, is due to the quality and productivity of our team, but also to the exceptional involvement of our students. As Arnold Schönberg said in the introduction to his Harmonielehre of 1911, "Dieses Buch habe ich von meinen Schülern gelernt." I have learned this book from my pupils. We, too, are proud to work with and to learn from our students. Perhaps one of the most important ways this is happening is through the work our students are doing together across traditionally separate domains. Composers and performers working with musicologists and theorists, with sound recording engineers and music technologists. This exciting collaborative environment is just beginning to hit its stride. One of the features of this collaboration is what I like to call the 8 p.m. syndrome, and I'll return to that at the end of this talk. What I mean, however, by this is that the technological innovations in music that in other institutions never rise above the level of experimental demo, for us, need to work live, in front of a full house, sometimes webcast around the globe, now, because they are fully integrated into a concert, and it's 8 p.m., and the concert is now. At present, Kermit and the Schulich School account for 80% of the funded research in music in Canada. But we expect to do even better in future. As part of a broader university project, the Schulich School recently reviewed 11 academic programs by various areas of specialization. Major international scholars evaluated our programs and independently ranked almost all of them as the best or one of the best in North America. When you think you're the best, it can be a problem. When others tell you that you're the best, it's somewhat better. But in either case, it can only mean one thing. Time for a change. We didn't get where we are by following others. We got there by being ahead of the curve. So the school is now engaged in a significant program of curriculum reform so that we can continue to exercise the leadership needed in musical training and research. I want to take a penultimate moment today to underscore the value and responsibility of being an alumnus of McGill in terms of two things, philanthropy and service. As students at McGill, you have spent thousands of dollars on your musical education. Most of you spent at least that much again on your musical training long before you arrived at McGill. Those who support McGill and music at McGill believe in higher education, believe in the transformative value of the arts, believe in you. Through their vision and generous support for scholarships, programs, equipment, facilities, etc., you have derived benefit. Be grateful, be reflective, and seek ways to give back. As I often point out to our graduating class, being an alumnus is, after all, a life sentence. Once you've graduated, there's no changing your mind. It's now up to you to make the most of it. You are joining a network of several thousand McGill Music graduates. I visit many of them on a regular basis all over the world, and I can tell you that, like you, they are an amazing bunch of people. As music graduates, you are, of course, part of a much smaller cohort than would be the case, say, if you graduated from the Faculty of Arts or Science. Musicians are a very privileged lot in what is, after all things considered, still a fairly small but interconnected and mutually supportive community. You are also joining an alumni association, as the principal said, of many thousand McGill graduates. And you will, of course, be asked at some point for money or to make some kind of contribution back to the school. And I want to tell you that you should do it, even as a musician who, let's be frank, will not likely, in the majority of cases, be at the top of the income ladder. As our named benefactor Seymour Schulich would say, people should be prepared to give their time, talent, and or treasure back to the university and to other worthy causes, because their education and the education of others is the best investment they can make for themselves and for society. Schulich received a $1,600 scholarship to pursue his MBA at McGill in 1963. To date, he has given over $160 million back to higher education, including considerably over $20 million for the Schulich School of Music at McGill. Some return on investment. With respect to service, you have an exceptional role model here before you today in the person of Chancellor Pound. This is, as you may know and may have heard, Richard Pound's last official convocation ceremony as Chancellor of McGill. His next-to-last convocation took place this morning, perhaps fittingly with the Faculty of Law from which he graduated. I suppose Dick would acknowledge that it's probably something of a twist of fate, a condition of irony, that his last convocation would be music. Over the past decade, Dick has presided over hundreds of convocations, dinners, alumni events, and community meetings. He has, it is estimated, graduated 25,000 of you. For those of you who might not know the man, I'm not going to repeat the biography that you've heard already today, but as a swimmer, you need to know that Dick is, perhaps by habit as well as inclination, always checking the time of the last lap. He's been watching his watch for the last 5 minutes while I've been speaking. For Chancellor Pound, things always take too long, and as the musical interludes that we are called upon to supply for so many of these events, because they are by definition always parenthetic to the proceedings, we are inevitably guilty of delay of game before we've even taken the stage. Indeed, when we supplied an operatic interlude a few years ago at the Jewish National Fund event in honor of Principal Bernard Shapiro, himself a huge music and opera fan, I quipped to a McGill-knowing crowd that it was a real pleasure to, for once, be able to introduce the singers without looking down in the front row at Dick Pound, his eye on the watch. Yet, as a true Olympian, and though he may not always know it, thus the perfect parallel to a true musician, Chancellor Pound understands the pursuit of excellence, the challenge of long-term goals, the place of practice, the pleasure of performance, the impact of ceremony, the value of teamwork, and the importance of a good ounce of vulgarity. If I may, at some peril, coin a paraphrase of Derek Drummond, as Chancellor of McGill University, Richard Pound knows his role is to feign greatness, and he does it well. But more important for us all, through his incorrigible wit and deadpan humor, through his carefully crafted, troublemaking publicity, Dick Pound knows how to deflate pomposity, even when it occasionally appears to be at his own expense in the guise of McGill's chancellor. For it is an amazing thing and a precious thing about this institution that it actually has a sense of humor. And as Chancellor Dick Pound reminds us that this very serious business of research and teaching and service should never allow us to take ourselves too seriously, sometimes, you see, the gesture and the prince are miraculously embodied in one. Hats off, Mr. Chancellor. As I draw my own... As I draw my remarks to a close, I want to leave you with some thoughts I've reworked on previous occasions, but which recently coalesced for me through a typical McGill accident. The unanticipated exchange with a colleague from another discipline, Dr. Robert Frank, clinical director of McGill Mental Health, forwarded me a copy of a version of the address that Carl Paunack, director of the Boston Conservatory, delivered to his cohort of students. After comments on music as educational choice, as music is more than arts and entertainment, Paunack reminded his listeners, his students, that for the Greeks, music and astronomy were intimately linked. Astronomy was seen as the study of the relationship between observable, external, and permanent objects. Music as the study of the relationships between invisible, internal, ephemeral objects. As Paunack put it, music has a way of finding the big, invisible, moving piece inside our hearts and souls, and helping us figure out the position of things inside us. By way of example, he cites French composer Olivier Messiaen's Quartet for the End of Time, a work famously composed in a German concentration camp in 1940. The work was written for piano, violin, cello, and clarinet, the last a klezmer player, because that's who was available among the prisoners. And the first performance took place in front of 4,000 prisoners and guards in January of 1941. Our earlier question about why anyone would study music suddenly pales to insignificance. Why would anyone in their right mind write and play music in a concentration camp where mere basic sustenance and survival surely took precedence? Yet, as many of you probably know, we have poetry, art, music from those camps, including Messiaen's piece, which is one of the great masterworks of the 20th century. So the answer is this: under greatest duress, people understand that art is essential to life. After 9/11, people stopped in the streets to sing. Similarly, at moments of great collective celebration, music always plays a role. This is why when McGill professor Charles Taylor received the prestigious Kyoto Prize this year, the whole ceremony was filled with music and theater and dance. This is why Beethoven's Ninth Symphony has now become emblematic for our aspirations for European, Western, and sometimes global unity. For us in music, as musicians and scholars, this sort of thing becomes a great responsibility for us to deliver, for us to recreate, for us to think about, for us to understand. We are in the business of studying and training the emotions as manifest through music. You, graduating class, are highly qualified personnel with unique gifts and great responsibilities ahead of you. If this were a medical school, everybody would recognize this because medicine is important. At the risk of appearing disingenuous to my many medical colleagues and friends, I used to joke with former Dean of Medicine, Abe Fuchs, that raising money for medicine seems to work for people because the tacit line is, give us money and we'll save your life. Or more altruistically, of course, give us money and we'll save lives. In fact, of course, modern medicine has done great things, but it still does have a 100% failure rate. Our line is, give us money and we'll play at your funeral. Somehow it doesn't have the same ring. But as Abe kindly acknowledged, yeah, but you guys are great. What a send-off. It's an interesting and complex social reality that we are asked several times a month to give our services for some worthy, usually medical cause. The headline usually reads something like, musicians raise money for cancer. What kind of society might we imagine where the headline could read, cancer researchers raise money for music? To return one last time to my paraphrase, to paraphrase my Boston fellow musician, if this were a medical school and you would everyone would expect you to have taken your studies very seriously because some night at 2 a.m., someone would waltz into your emergency room with a life-threatening condition and it would be up to you to save their lives. Well, ladies and gentlemen, some morning at 8 a.m., a child may step into your classroom, starved physically and emotionally. And at 8 p.m., somebody is going to walk into your concert hall and bring you a mind that is confused, a heart that is overwhelmed, and a soul that is weary.
and it will be up to you and how well you exercise your craft to save that child or that person, and if even only for a moment, to bring them out whole. Mastering music, whether through creation, performance, or research, is the work of a lifetime. Your symphony is not over, it has barely begun. And as dean of this school, I expect you to do more than exercise your musical skills. I expect you to play a role in healing this planet. For if there is a future hope for us all, it is not likely to come from government, or military force, or corporate largesse, and surely not from religions as we know them now, but from our ability to understand the invisible, internal, ephemeral things that are arts and music. We are musicians, and this is what we do. My congratulations to you all. Represent us well.
Thank you, Don. As you can see, ladies and gentlemen, being a dean is kind of an aerobic sport, for which our dean is well qualified. This, unless somebody is really, really late with their marks, this is indeed my last convocation at McGill, as at least where I, at which I preside, and I think it's entirely appropriate that it be with the Faculty of Music, and I was going to say that it would be my swan song, but I decided not to say that because it's pretty corny. So instead, we will proceed with the conferring of the academic degrees, and I call upon our provost, Dr. Anthony Mazzi, to commence the formal proceedings.
Thank you, Mr. Chancellor. This afternoon, I am pleased to invite students graduating from programs in the Schulich School of Music to come forward for the conferral of their McGill University degrees. For the benefit of the audience, I would like to explain some of McGill University's customs and traditions regarding the sequence for each student as his or her name is called. I would also like to remind you, in the words of an old, wise old baseball sage, you can observe a lot just by watching. Each student crossing the stage will be greeted by the chancellor, the principal, or the chair of the Board of Governors. Students are wearing graduation robes and distinctive hoods whose colors represent the degrees they have completed. If they are receiving their first degree, individuals will remove their mortarboard hat at the center stage, where they will be symbolically capped, usually lightly. This capping signals the ceremonial conferral of the degree they have received. They do not shake the hand with the university official who has just capped them, for obvious reasons. Students who have already earned a degree keep their mortarboards on their heads at center stage and are congratulated with a handshake. A parchment is given to each student by a dean or delegate as he or she leaves the stage. We begin with our graduate students, followed by undergraduate students from the various programs of study in the Schulich School of Music. En vertu des pouvoirs qui me sont conférés par le Sénat de l'Université, je déclare que les candidats dont le nom figure sur la liste des diplômés de l'Université McGill, qu'ils soient présents ou absents, ont satisfait aux exigences de leur grade, diplôme ou certificat respectif. By virtue of the powers conferred upon me by the University Senate, I declare that the candidates whose names appear on McGill University's list of graduates, whether they be present or absent, have satisfied the requirements for their respective degrees, diplomas, or certificates. I now invite Professor Julie Cumming to introduce the graduates. Associate Dean of Graduate and Postdoctoral Studies, Professor Lisa Travis, will distribute diplomas to all students receiving graduate degrees. Professor Don McLean, Dean of the Schulich School of Music, will distribute diplomas to students receiving undergraduate diplomas, bachelor's degrees, and the licentiate. Congratulations, felicitations to those McGill University students of the class of 2009 who are receiving degrees today. Merci, thank you.
For the degree of Doctor of Music, Durval Gesetti. Irene Marguerite Fair. Alejandro Ochoa Amaya. Matthew Provost. Susan Lynn Toman. For the degree of Doctor of Philosophy, Hélène Boucher. Andrew DeRouchy. Sungyoung Kim. For the degree of Master of Arts, Jennifer Michelle Bentley. Daniel Donnelly. Kenda Ann Calfer-Bohr. Millian Laurier-Cromp. Young Shi. Eric Thomas Smilek. Dean's Honor List. Jean-Philippe Soucy. Jose Vasquez Garcia. Melissa Hoxie Wong. For the degree of Master of Music, Carrie Lynn Anderson. Elliot Stephen Britton. Nathan Paul Chandler. Mining Marcella Chung Ruiz. Aiden Margaret Ferguson. Marielle Andre Groven. And Dean's Honor List for her. Alexandra Kelsey St. K. Hill. Donald Gordon Hunt. Iskra Lyobomirova Kalcheva. David Loeffler. Stephen Paul Lilly. Andrea Olariu. Liliana Piazza. Danielle Patricia Pullen. Margaret Rude. Jamie Sitanaya. Seda Sanaz Sotude. Anthony Eng Seng Tan, Dean's Honor List. Jacqueline Rachel Woodley. And for the degree of Bachelor of Music, Monica Asley, High Distinction and Dean's Honor List. I'll tell you that Monica teaches here as well as being a student, so she sort of does double duty. So, Marie-Gabrielle Ayotte. Nicolas Bédard, Distinction. Hélène Delmar, High Distinction and Dean's Honor List. Jeffrey Hamilton Bigger, Outstanding Achievement in Guitar, also receiving a Bachelor of Education. Daphne Bisson. Vanessa Blais-Tremblay, Honors in Music History, Outstanding Achievement in Music History. Evan Charles Bryden. Janet Sophia Bukowski. Milena Maria Busca. Suad Bushnak. Nicholas Raymond Chalk, Outstanding Achievement in Double Bass. Robert Larry Couture, High Distinction, Outstanding Achievement in Music Education, also receiving a Bachelor of Education. Nicholas Rhodes Davis. Claire de Sévigné. Jordan James D'Souza, High Distinction, Outstanding Achievement in Organ and Dean's Honor List. Caitlin Hope Decker, also receiving a Bachelor of Education. Laura Dickens. Jeffrey Dylan Dierda, High Distinction, Outstanding Achievement in Violin. Chantel Edwards, also receiving a Bachelor of Education. Kevin William Fallis, Outstanding Achievement in Jazz Bass. Lisa Janine Gary, Outstanding Achievement in Jazz Voice. Ellen Gibling, High Distinction, Outstanding Achievement in Harp and Dean's Honor List. Amy Lee Gilbert, High Distinction and Dean's Honor List. Brittany Joan Goldsboro, also receiving a Bachelor of Education. Connor David Graham. Katie Ann Hampton. Allison Jane Dorcas Hess, also receiving a Bachelor of Education. Leah Marie Hodgkins. Kelvin Brandon Churchill Ironside. Mary Alexandra Kavalaskas. Scott Michael Kingsley. Geneviève Langelier, Honors in Music History. Marie Chantal Lebel, also receiving a Bachelor of Education. Wilfred Lee. Joshua William Levy. Christopher David Lewis. Stephanie Aleta Luck, also receiving a Bachelor of Education. Hilden David Marbit. Bradley J. Millaw, High Distinction, Outstanding Achievement in Music Education, also receiving a Bachelor of Education. Amandine Michaud. Jana Elizabeth Miller, with distinction. Sonia Elizabeth Nanos. Stephanie Young Ayun Park. Heather Ashley Peace, Outstanding Achievement in Saxophone. Lisa Mary Perus. Jordan Anthony Peters, Outstanding Achievement in Jazz Guitar. Leanna Kristen Portnoy, High Distinction, Outstanding Achievement in Clarinet and Dean's Honor List. Hillary Ann Punnett Distinction. Jeffrey Robert Ricciardi, Outstanding Achievement in Jazz Saxophone. Matthew Ricketts, Honors in Composition, High Distinction, Bernard Shapiro Prize, Outstanding Achievement in Music Composition, Outstanding Achievement in Music Theory, and Dean's Honor List. Andrew Shartman. Gunnar Skurt Schafstadt. Josiane Sylvestre. Amina Miriam Tebini, High Distinction, McGill Alumni Society Prize, Outstanding Achievement in Viola, and Dean's Honor List. Thierry William Tigreau, Honors in Composition, High Distinction, and Outstanding Achievement in Music Composition. Elise Trottier, High Distinction, Outstanding Achievement in Music Education, also receiving a Bachelor of Education. David Jackson Tyler. Kevin Frederick Wenzel, Outstanding Achievement in Saxophone. Brianne White, also receiving a Bachelor of Education. Asher Vijay Yampolsky, Honors in Music Theory, Distinction, Outstanding Achievement in Music History, Outstanding Achievement in Music Theory. Kimihiro Yasaka. Candace Ye, also receiving a Bachelor of Education. Gil Shlomo Silberstein, Distinction. Martin Zillner.
Could I ask the graduating students to stand, please? In my capacity as Chancellor of McGill University, I declare and confirm that each of you is now entitled to the distinction of the degree, diploma, or certificate that has been conferred upon you today by this university, with all of the honors, rights, privileges, and responsibilities appurtenant thereto. Congratulations. Now, if the rest of the audience will stand, I will call upon the Secretary General of the University, Joanne Pelche, to sing the benediction.
Oh, if it were only possible, Chancellor. Go now in peace to share the gift of knowledge that has been entrusted to you. May this university and all its graduates be diligent in the free and honest pursuit of truth for the benefit of all. We come from and return to many lands. In humility and hope, may we continue in friendship and grow in solidarity and wisdom, and may you be blessed all of your days.